Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Get ready to move into a virtual TV executive suite. You're about to hear a trio of leaders who oversee various content channels, very unique content channels. In the first position, James DeBose, the chief executive of In the Black Network, launching early next month. He joins me next in Internet Radio Exclusive. Nebula is creator-driven and ready to go next level. We'll meet Chief Executive Dave Wiskus and new Chief Content Officer Sam Denby next half hour. We first brought Gusto TV on board this program 4 years ago. Now the cutting-edge worldwide distributed FoodNet is breaking new ground with artificial intelligence and Spanish language fare. We'll revisit with Chief Executive Chris Knight in our final 30 minutes live from Canada. Also ahead, Daytime Talk Variety Series move their season launches back. Warner Bros. Discovery takes Latino TV plunge. We've got the exclusive details, our classic trivia answer, and the diversity champion and the unique ongoing organization he inspired. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, the Zencaster Creative Network, and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, it's Diversity Week 2023, and tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Great to have you with us for this Monday edition of the program all about TV's current and future. And a special shout-out to everybody who is attending Diversity Week 2023 at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Midtown Manhattan near Times Square. The WIC Network is holding court today and the first half of tomorrow. Then NAMIC comes in tomorrow afternoon to Wednesday afternoon. And then the Walter Cates Foundation has its 40th annual dinner on Wednesday night. If you don't know who Walter Cates is and the organization he inspired, stay tuned till our final half hour. I think you'll be very inspired by what this incredible human being did to advance diversity in television. We have a trio of great guests you heard in the tease, so get on board. Let's have that chat room and those phones ring. If you want to get in by phone, here's how you do it. You call in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Another way you get involved, our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and it'll take me live with you. James DeBose from Los Angeles and In the Black Network will join us after these news notes. The latest fallout of the strikes by TV actors and writers, several daytime talk variety series putting the series starts of their programs in limbo. The Drew Barrymore Show, The Talk, and The Jennifer Hudson Show all plan to begin new season episodes today. However, The Talk on CBS and Hudson's syndicated hour changed course after Barrymore, under pressure from the Writers Guild and social media feedback, decided to hold her season debut until the Guild ended their strike and won a new agreement with the TV and Film Producers Alliance, AMPTP. WGA officials have promised to resume talks with the Alliance this week, and they will have that meeting Wednesday in Los Angeles. Another development, Bill Maher, who said he was going to bring back Real Time, his HBO series, he is going to delay that until he sees what happens with the Writers Guild meeting. Again, that is now set for Wednesday in Los Angeles. And now a news note exclusive. Look for Warner Bros. Discovery to make 2024 a monumental catapult into Latino-directed television. Senior officials there maintain the company will launch 10 Spanish-language channels. You heard me right. 10 Spanish-language channels, genres to be determined, for carriage on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. In addition, WBD is working on new Max features devoted to Latino content, both in English and Spanish, and exploring creation of a Spanish language version of Max that would present acquired and first-run programming on demand. We'll keep you posted as those developments warrant. Now, quickies. HBO sent Winning Time to the showers for good following a second season finale installment last night. Controversial drama on the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team suffered viewership drops compared to its first season last spring. Comets Unleashed begins its late-night run on CBS tonight. The Byron Allen-produced panel show will serve up 2 half-hour episodes each night taken from previous syndicated seasons. Monday Night Football will become an ABC-ESPN simulcast after 2 weeks from tonight. The simulcast will run through the end of the NFL season, and Dancing with the Stars, which will be simulcast on ABC and Disney+, that simulcast will now move from Monday night to Tuesday nights. Top Award Special Executive Producers Glenn Weiss and Ricky Kirshner have agreed to oversee the 2024 Golden Globe Awards presentation. The ceremony, currently on track to happen live January 7th in Los Angeles, has yet to confirm a TV service carrier. And longtime Food Network personality host Duff Goodman will continue serving up projects there under a new multi-year deal. Financial terms were not released. And that is News Notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, former head of Fox Soul, now the founder and chief executive of In the Black Network, which will premiere October 2nd, James DeBose. James, good to have you here.
How you doing? Thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
And we appreciate you having and coming aboard. James, when In the Black premieres on October 2nd, what will be special about it?
I think you'll start to really see the quality of the content. And the mission of this, if I may be honest, is the fact that In the Black Network is not just another product that's black focused, if you will. We're aiming to be our own Tubi in terms of the business model. But the quality wanted to be a lot different, and I think you'll see the diversity of the programming, the quality of the programming, and it'll be a place where people feel like they're home, they're proud of it, and this goes back to this is our network, not my network, if you will, but the people who work behind the scenes helping me get this off the ground, but also something that the general public of all cultures can be proud of and really love the content that we're producing.
And when it premieres on October 2nd, where will it play? How can people find it?
When we launch on the 2nd, we're on Apple TV, Android, our own native app website, Samsung Smart TVs, LG Smart TVs, Sony's, and Google Play, and Fire Stick TV.
How long has this been in the works for? Did you start thinking about doing your own service while you were at Fox Soul, or did you wait until you left Fox Soul to really put this in motion?
You know, to be honest, the goal for Fox Soul when we first started that was to eventually either be the majority owner, if not the owner of Fox Soul. We've had those conversations in the past, myself, with the Fox Soul and the Fox executives, and that didn't really pan out. It started off really well, and they decided to go in a different route in terms of the business model, which they have every right to do. And once I sort of realized that wasn't going to take place, I started to really focus on producing and creating my own network, which is In the Black. And to Fox's credit, which I'm forever grateful for, when I went to them and said I wanted to start my own network, we were able to do an agreement that I was able to take a lot of the content that we had developed while at Fox so to help me get In the Black Network off the ground. So it was very important to me. This has been a vision and a dream of mine, and so I look at this as a real extension of Fox Soul and where we had started to take this in the very beginning.
So when people start to see this on October 2nd, how much of the programming will be first run, original to the service? How much it will be acquired? How do you see things playing out?
So right now we have our first original program, which is called Crowned. And that's the original in-studio talk show with Vivica A. Fox, Selena Johnson, Kendra G., and Chanel Nicole Scott. And that's our first flagship original programming. We have a lot of the talk shows, as I just mentioned, and content that we are bringing over from Fox Soul. And then I did strategic partnerships with Homestead Entertainment, which has over 800 titles of movies as well as Maverick. Entertainment, and then a family programming with Pocket Watch so that the whole family could watch that as well. It was the reason I did those strategic partnerships, that it was very important that when we launch, we're launching with enough content that people could sit and binge watch whatever they wanted to, as long as they wanted to, and not just a couple of hours of product, if you will, or content. And then to add to that, we were also able to do a strategic partnership with Merge TV and Dr. Holly Carter, and that will be our live TV programming, which is faith-based. She has a lot of great content. She was the executive producer of the Clock Sisters movie that did extremely well. And so we wanted to bring every piece of the culture to In the Black, faith, talk, music, movies, and so forth. So you'll be able to get a great diversity of content when we launch on October the 2nd.
James, you already have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Hello, hello. Let's try again. Hang on for a second. Everybody be patient. Let's see. I think we may have another. Let's try it again. All right. Oop, that person dropped. I think we have another call. Let's go for it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Okay. Apparently, nobody on the other line. Sorry about that. We are speaking with James DeBose. He is the chief executive in the Black Network. It will be launching on various smart TV sets and smart devices on October 2nd. It is an on-demand service. It will be FBI supported. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And if you have a question or comment for James, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week on Tomorrow We Televise, Diversity Week 2023. We'll be back with you on Thursday and on Friday. And coming away on Friday, we will have the co-founder and chief executive officer of one of the more unique services. It didn't start as a smart TV, smart device, multi-bundle distributed service, but now it is. It's called Caffeine. It's a mix of sports, entertainment, and gaming programming. You will meet Ben Kingren. He is the co-founder, chief executive officer of that service. We'll have him for you on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And by the way, for the first time in the 16-plus years we're doing this show, we will not be doing a show next Monday because of the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, holiest day in the Jewish cycle every year. It starts on a Sunday night and goes into Monday, so we won't be with you next Monday. We hope to be with you the following Tuesday, all right? So just to make sure you know that. All right, I think we may finally have a call. Let's see if we can take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where you're calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Okay, for some reason that person's not coming through. We'll try again a little bit later. Let's talk about these two unique programming partnerships that you've got. The first one, as you mentioned a moment ago, is Merge TV. Now, this is a faith-based entertainment platform. I understand it's put together by a woman named Dr. Holly Carter. Tell us about how you two got together.
Dr. Carter and I have been knowing each other for quite a while in the business. We both, when I was have an independent production company, we've worked together on producing certain content, but we've been friends much longer than that. And when she had heard and I discussed that I was about to launch my own AVOD, she was telling me about her idea for the faith-based app as well. And so we decided it was best that we could help each other out and bringing that over to In the Black and with her great content that she has and then what we're doing. We just figured together we work better together than trying to separate it at the moment.
So is she only put her content on In the Black or will she be doing her own thing? Her own separate network on smart TV sets and devices. Just wanted clarification for our listeners.
Yeah, so eventually her goal is to have her own dedicated app, probably a year or so away, I would imagine. But for now, Merge TV will be our live TV offering under In the Black Network. So when you go to watch anything on In the Black, and if you want to watch live TV outside of the AVOD content that we have, that will be our faith-based Merge TV program.
And what kind of shows is she doing? Is she doing just unscripted, or is she doing scripted series and movies?
She will have movies, all of it, unscripted, scripted series as well as movies will come. She has some great names in her content base with Romeo Miller, Devon Franklin. She has a Preacher series that she does. And then obviously she's bringing over some content that she's already produced as well, as we sort of try to license those type of content as well from Sunday's Best music competition show to some of the movies that she's done as well.
Now, the other organization that you're dealing with is Homestead Entertainment. They have a great library of original movies and scripted series featuring people and organizations of color. Talk about what they do, because I understand that they have already been doing supplying shows to various mega content services and other organizations.
Yeah, they've been doing extremely well. Rob and Sean and Lynn, you know, it's a 100% black-owned entertainment company that aggregates a lot of great films. And so Rob and I have had many conversations over the years about figuring out how to work together. And once I decided to launch In the Black Network, it just made sense for us to come together and offer quality content where people could binge. And they, in their library, outside of just the movies, we also have 8 scripted series that they produced that will be exclusive on In the Black Network as well.
What are some of the scripted series, and going forward, do you have a co-development, co-production deal to do more?
We have Day One. We have Skippers. They have, in terms of the scripted series, we have Conflicted, which is a lot of drama stuff. We do not have a co-production deal, traditionally, I guess, if you say, to do more. But our goal and our option agreement that we do have is to work together to produce more scripted content, as well as even co-produce movies together as well.
What kind of response is In the Black getting from the creative community, whether it's in Los Angeles where you are, New York where I am, and in between? And how is the writer's strike and the actor's strike impacting things, if any?
Right. The momentum behind the network has been fantastic. It's really been a blessing. I think a lot of people are looking forward to having something of quality, and not that no one else doesn't have the quality. We just hope to be a little different. I think the campaign to let people make the awareness, if you will, to let them know about the network has been great. The word of mouth has been fantastic. And then in terms of the strike, you know, all the content we have was produced prior to the strike, and then the original show that we're doing with Crown is a non-union project. So that doesn't affect us at all, but we're hoping obviously to get that. Hopefully the strike ends very soon for everybody involved so that we can continue even getting great content from the great writers and actors and so forth that are currently on strike.
Do you expect, James, that once the strike is over, you'll enter into program development deals with individual creators or companies like Homestead?
Absolutely. We will definitely look to do production deals and co-producing deals with various creative minds across the board, because we want to make sure that the only thing is we want to make sure whoever we work with has the point of view that we have, and that is giving you that feeling. We're not selling a product, we're selling a feeling. And that feeling is, you know, it's universal. You know that feeling you get when you know you're in the presence of greatness and excellence. And that's what we're trying to provide here at In the Black, that when you watch us, you leave with some type of emotional feeling that you feel entertainingly inspired. And everything that we choose to date, all the content and all the strategic partnerships that I've chosen to work with at this point, has the content that does that exact thing.
All right, let's see if we have that call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. I'm hearing a sound. Do not hear a voice. Okay. We'll maybe try again a little bit later. And if you have a phone line or a chat room thought for our guest this half hour, James DeBose. He is the founder and chief executive officer of In the Black Network. It premieres on October 2nd on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name. Just getting started in this 90-day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming up our next half hour, we will have the folks behind Nebula, a very unusual programming service with all sorts of interesting ideas in the works, and now they're trying to take their programming to the next level on smart TV sets and smart devices. We will go live to Colorado and meet the new chief content officer, Sam Denby, and we'll also have the chief executive officer of that service, Dave Witzkos. And then we will have in our final half hour, guests we've had on before, Chris Knight. He is the chief executive of Gusto TV, the worldwide available foodie network. We showcased him on this program 4 years ago, and he's back with us live from Ottawa, Canada, because that service is doing some very unique, groundbreaking things, including artificial intelligence-created animated characters in some of their shows. And a few months ago, started a Spanish language service. It will start with dubbed or subtitled programming, and then will do its own original fare. So stay tuned for Chris Knight. And in our next half hour, Stay tuned also for the answer to our current classic trivia question that we've offered the last 2 weeks. We'll tell you where we go from there. James, how are you doing in terms of getting advertisers to be part of the service?
So far it's been great. Actually, we've partnered with Blavity, which will sell our ad inventory. We're going out and talking to different agencies now, which everyone seems to be pretty excited about. But like anything, the ad space is a difficult space. And as we know from subscription services losing subscribers and the AVOD space, and the ad market has been, you know, sort of a depressed market. But I feel like with what we're offering and what we're hearing so far from the different agencies and so forth, we should have a good start. I mean, the key is to get enough quality content that we bring to eyeballs, which brings impressions, and then it sells itself. But it's definitely going to be a difficult task. I'm not going to sit here and say it's an easy thing, but I think with what we have, if the momentum continues and then we do our part in terms of the content and what we're doing, we should have some success at it. And I know Blavity does a fantastic job. But what they do with all the agencies that they're involved with and bringing those brands to a platform like In the Black.
And we should point out that Blavity also has its own television network available on smart TV sets and devices. And if you want to hear the interview that we did with one of the key people at Blavity, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, our website, smartvtelevised.com, or any of our more than 40 podcast destinations. It seems in the last 2 or 3 years, James, we have seen this incredible explosion of new because of smart sets and device and multi-channel bundles, this incredible explosion of new programming services that are both managed by and reaching out to African-Americans, Latinos, Asian-Americans, Native Americans, and so on. And when it comes to African-Americans, services like Blavity, like Stellar TV Network, so on and so forth. What do you make of the environment right now for services like yours?
Well, I think it's still we're trying to serve an underserved market or underserved culture and community that we all know. And if we're being honest, a lot of networks, broadcasts and so forth, start off or have a lot of content that's aimed for the African-American community. And then at some point, they seem to divest in it and let it go. They don't have it anymore. You can't really look around outside of some of the platforms you just mentioned and find a lot of content that is really catered towards the African-American community. So what I think myself and everyone else that you mentioned, what we're trying to do is have a long-term. We want to be a place that it never goes away, that we don't do it for a season or so. And you know, you have all these platforms that have black cinema and they have all these things, but they're not really focused on that. It's a part of what they do. And I think the comment is we're trying to find a focus to the culture and really prove that we have value, that our eyeballs have value, that the community has value. And I think when there's places that they feel represented properly, that they feel the quality of and they feel good about calling it their own, they will stay. And I'm just not quite sure over the years, if you've mentioned, if the other outlets really see the value long-term in the black community.
What about the fact that we now have this group of African-American entrepreneurs like Byron Allen, like Tyler Perry, like Sean Diddy Combs, like yourself, that are now really trying to expand their horizon television in an incredible way? I mean, last week we had the news that Byron Allen has made a $10 billion bid for ABC, the ABC-owned stations here in New York, where you are in L.A., and Nat Geo and FX. Tyler Perry put in the bid for BET, which Paramount unfortunately decided to yank. Sean Diddy has Revolt. He's trying to turn that into a Disney-like empire in television and other media. Do those entrepreneurs inspire you in terms of what you're out to do?
Absolutely. It didn't even feel right for you to mention me in those names as you just did, but I appreciate that. I'm working hard to catch those guys. They absolutely inspire me in every way. But most importantly, it's just their greatness and everything that they seem to do. You know, it's important to see someone that looks like me and to see someone that is had a long journey in the ups and downs of life, if you will, but has always seemed to come out on top because they just refuse to quit. And they love what they do. They love the culture. So I'm definitely inspired by them. I hope that, you know, one day I can have In the Black Network and being like a permanent fixture on everyone's mind, sort of like the names that you just mentioned already, what they've been able to accomplish in a great way.
Are there any plans to promote the network in public, whether it's events where you are in L.A., here in New York, in between? Any plans down the road, let's say next year, to be part of the digital content new fronts, possibly rope fronts, or some of the presentation that people like Balan has been doing, African American, black and white upfront, or what Magna did, the equity upfront, or other things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. The key to what I've been able to learn, again, through trials and tribulations, is to scale properly and not just jump out the gate too fast. So in terms of event, I wanted to launch first. I wanted to get that phase going, and then I will exhale for about 2 hours, and then I'll have to start all over again with the next level, as we all know, the stages to this thing. So we want, once we launch, we're going to have an event in L.A. We plan an event in L.A., an event in New York, an event in D.C., an event in Atlanta and Philadelphia to go and showcase the network once it's launched. So at those events, people could actually see the type of content that we have. And then we will continue to bring shows and also talent over that has a point of view that also people want to hear their voices from a different perspective. And then, yes, hopefully we'll scale up to everything you said. We can have our own upfronts where we can do an award show that I have in mind, some other type of events and specials that continue to elevate the network and elevate the culture in that way.
Mm-hmm. Where do you hope to be a year from now?
I hope to triple the content that I have. Right now I have about a little over 2,000 hours of content at the launch, which is definitely a blessing to launch a new streaming network. And, you know, every year I want to triple that. And that is, to me, what I've learned through the Fossil years and just studying and watching everything else. But not just adding content for the sake of adding content. It's adding the quality content that sticks to the mission of what we talked about. And so I'm not trying to be on, you know, different distribution platforms. I want to drive everyone sort of what Netflix does or Tubi does in those places, to drive everyone to In the Black, to watch, to download us, to go to our app and see what you need to see. So I'm hoping to increase the content, which to me will increase the eyeballs and, of course, impressions, and then show the world that the ad dollars are out there for quality.
James, before we go, I want to extend an invitation that if any of your show producers with the Homestead scripted series would like to come on this program between now and the launch date on October 2nd, we would love to have them on. So once you please let the Homestead people and Dr. Carter know that they have an open invite to come on this program and discuss how they're making a contribution to your service. Again, the service is In the Black Network. It will start on October 2nd on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If you want more details about the service, here's where you go online, intheblacknetwork.tv. That's intheblacknetwork.tv. James DeBose, the founder and chief executive of the service, thank you very much for coming on the program. We deeply appreciate it, particularly during the start of Diversity Week 2023 here in New York. All the very best with the launch. We hope that on October 2nd, your network begins what hopefully will be a fantastic and long run.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me. And I greatly appreciate you always being supportive to all of the cultures. And that's very important. I just wanted to make sure I didn't leave you by saying that and saying a sincere thank you for being supportive of everything we've always done.
You are very, very welcome, James. I got that acknowledgement. Thank you very much for it. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
You too. James DeBose, founder and chief exec In the Black Network, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from the great people at Wild, the reusable, refillable natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Got a question for you. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Well, then give Wild a try. Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. Wild comes in a variety of scent and color combinations, such as jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about, and if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door, and you can use the special case to always get the refills in without any problem. So go Wild today with a special discount, 25% off your first order, when you use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Enjoy. Coming up for our next half hour, the people from Nebula, a very unique network that's going next level in the months ahead. You will meet the chief executive, Dave Wiskus, and Sam Denby, their new chief content officer, plus the answer to our current trivia question. All coming away after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the B-side, great music show tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. Know you'll enjoy it. The B-side, tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. This half hour is brought to you by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. Coming up, I'm with you live from New Weber, York, 69 degrees and cloudy. That on-off rain all day today, but I understand the weather for the rest of the week, fantastic. Happy you're with us for this half hour, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next two guests are from a service that's been around for quite a while, and it's now really getting into smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. It is called Nebula, and they are out to become, with their content, bizarrely good. Joining us live from Colorado in another internet radio exclusive, the new chief content officer of the service, Sam Denby. Sam, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And I believe on the line right now is the chief executive of the service, Dave Wiskus. Dave, are you there?
I am. Hello.
There we go. And Dave, where are you calling from? What city?
I'm right here with you in New York City.
Oh, excelente. Well, we're great to have both of you here. And Dave, we'll start with you. For folks who don't know what Nebula is, what is this kind of service and where can people find it on smart TV sets and devices and so forth?
We took a whole bunch of the people who were making the cool, interesting, fun, smart stuff, vaguely educational, all across YouTube and brought them together to build our own service where you can find a lot of those videos and new things that we make, sort of spreading our wings, trying new formats, trying new genres, anything from video essays to scripted fiction to pro shots of theatrical productions created by the sorts of smart, thoughtful people who make, vaguely education-ish things on YouTube. We are on all of the app stores and the iPhone, iPad app store, Apple TV, Android TV, Roku, Samsung, LG, and of course, the web.
And is the programming on demand or is it linear?
It's on demand. Yes, you sort of the Netflix style. You go in, you find a thing that looks interesting to you, and you hit the play button, you can play it. A lot of the people who use Nebula are fans of specific creators, so we're less of a content streaming service and more of a creator streaming service. It's more about these individual personalities and the things they create. Although there's plenty of opportunity, you go in, this kind of creator is kind of optimized for attracting attention on public format streaming services like YouTube. So the headlines might grab your attention, the titles, the thumbnails might grab your attention. So there's certainly opportunity to find individual videos that could pique your interest, but a lot of it is driven by the interest in specific creators.
Mm-hmm. And how much content have they created so far, specifically for Nebula?
Specifically for Nebula, I'd have to pull up the number, hundreds of individual projects. The total content catalog is about 20,000 videos.
Mm. Let's go to Sam next. Sam, you're the new content chief. How did you decide to take that role? And we'll go from there.
Well, I've been a Nebula creator, essentially, since Nebula has existed. And so I've been very involved with the platform for quite a while. And more recently, we basically started to get a really good understanding of our sort of medium-term 3 to 5 year plan for our original content slate. And I was very excited by that and wanted to do everything I could to help fulfill that plan and really grow our original content slate to be something super exciting. So basically the position sounded exciting. So that's why I wanted to get involved.
So how do you see, and I know you've only been in that role now for about a week or so, how do you see the next level of Nebula? Is it, let's say, to bring as much scripted content to the unscripted? Is it trying to get into new genres to make more innovative, do some cutting-edge material? What do you see as the scene that you're out to create?
So we have like a fairly specific idea of the type of content that we want to make from a basically from a budget perspective, because we're in this unique position where our creators on the platform are coming from the lowest cost platforms in terms of production costs. They're coming by and large from YouTube, where they just have to create content on a tiny, scrappy budget in order to have any chance of profitability. So these are creators who understand how to make content that engages an audience, you know, similarly, if not more, than broadcast or traditional streaming at a far lower cost. So our focus is trying to sort of hit that middle ground in cost between YouTube and sort of digital production and current big streaming production, and create stuff that is, you know, similar caliber, if not more, a higher caliber for a far lower cost, while also being just much more innovative, much more interesting, the kind of stuff that could not make it through a traditional content development process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an element
also, Sam,
in what we do.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, sorry. There's an element of what we do of reach, both in terms of the amount of audience we reach, which tends to be higher than a given actor or writer on social media, like within the middle tiers. So when we make something, when our creators make something, they have kind of a baked-in audience in a way that the traditional media tends to see this kind of content creator as like cheap talent with a built-in audience, and they don't sort of regard us as being the level of serious that someone who's been in the traditional media industry for a longer period of time would get. So we tend to end up with a lot of very talented people who have kind of been making things on their own, and they might have bigger aspirations. They might want to make full-length documentaries, which many of our creators, including Sam, have. They might want to be filmmakers or writers. We have plenty of creators who are video essayists talking about the art of crafting a screenplay who are also writers themselves. They can get millions of views on a video, but if they go to Hollywood and try to sell a script, they don't necessarily get the same number of open doors. So a big part of the long-term trajectory of what we want to accomplish with the content development is, in the near term, creating more interesting things out of the ingredients we have, and then over time, adding new ingredients, adding new resources, and sort of building a bridge so that this type of creator can make much larger, more ambitious projects, reaching into new genres, new formats, getting more experimental without necessarily having to give up the control and equity that would be required going into a more traditional setup.
We're talking about Nebula. It's the unique service with unique programming, creator-driven, that is currently running on Roku, Apple TV, other smart TV sets and devices, as well as multi-channel bundles. We are speaking with Dave Wiskus. He is the Chief Executive Officer, and Sam Denby. He is the brand new Chief Content Officer of the service, and they're both joining us live, Dave from New York and Sam from Colorado, respectively, this half hour on Smart Beat Televised. Happy you're with us as well as Diversity Week 2023 kicks off here in the Big Apple. Simon Apple with you live from there, and you where you are, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Two more episodes coming your way this week, one on Thursday, one on Friday. And coming your way on Friday, we have a very unique service also called Caffeine. It's been out for 5 years, but it's now getting into smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. We meet the co-founder and chief executive officer, Ben Kegren, on the program. The service, by the way, combines sports, entertainment, and gaming content. And they're also trying to go next level as too. That's Caffeine Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Sam, who are some of the creators that are starting to find a fan base through Nebula right now?
Well, we have a pretty deep slate of creators, I think maybe about 150 to 200 right now, all of whom almost all of whom are making content on a variety of digital platforms. But then some of these creators have found kind of exponential greater success on Nebula. For example, there's Real Life Lore, who's one of the largest channels or creators on YouTube in the educational space. He has this unique strategy where he creates a full quality series on Nebula called Modern Conflicts that is a series that could not exist on YouTube because of YouTube's content policy guidelines or content guidelines in terms of how you can discuss topics like wars and, you know, sensitive issues like that. So he makes this series on Nebula instead that is diving deep into war and conflict in a way that would not be allowed on YouTube, and posts this on the platform. And his audience, because they are primed based on the videos on YouTube to be interested in this sort of topic, converts over to Nebula very well based on that premise. And that has led to this show being one of our highest watch time shows on the platform, with a kind of completely distinct isolated audience on Nebula itself, for example.
Mm-hmm. I understand from your press release that you've had some other interesting shows, like we have a travel game show called Jet Lag, the game. You also have done I don't think it's a series or a special called The Prince, which is a theater in the round, so like a Globe Theater kind of Shakespearean exercise dealing with somebody who is coming out. Talk about those two projects, because they really sound quite unique and quite interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jet Lag I can speak to in much more detail, because that's my own show. So that's a show where we launched it basically off of the basically the economic case that Nebula could provide, because that's a show where rather uniquely it is a season-based format where we have, you know, 6-8 episodes across a season under the same premise, which is not something that traditionally performs well on YouTube. Normally YouTube works much better off of shorter and more distinct videos because each video sort of needs to stand on its own legs. So here we were doing something that we already knew would be compromised in terms of performance on the largest platform. But what the advantage was that the videos themselves engaged with the audience very deeply. So like the audience got very highly engaged, and therefore the case that made this rather high production cost show work was putting every episode up 1 week early on Nebula. So releasing everything on YouTube, but everything is out one sort of cycle, one video ahead on Nebula. And because it's a series, it's a season-based format where the audience gets engaged by the overall season format, we see that people are very willing to pay the monthly fee and come watch on Nebula. So we see far higher revenue per view than with almost any other show on YouTube. So we're basically able to unlock, you know, a deeper and higher level of YouTube revenue through Nebula, which is interesting. The Prince is a fascinating other project. That was a case where the creator behind it, PhilosophyTube, has long sort of talked with her audience about her desire to become a playwright, and that was like a lot of the channel on YouTube was about that premise. And Nebula came in. Where Nebula came in is Nebula wanted to be sort of the wish fulfiller in this narrative. Nebula wanted to, enable this dream project for this creator. And because we had this strong narrative that was built with this audience, that the creator's audience, this sort of personal parasocial audience, the audience really responded to that well because they wanted to see what was the culmination of sort of a years-long journey of working up to this. And a dream fulfilled. And so this was put on as a real physical stage production with a 3-week run in London. And it was I think nearly sold out, or many nights were sold out at least. Full run was sold out. Okay.
Ahead of launch, I believe. And then won a bunch of awards.
Yeah, and then, of course, One Night was filmed and put on the platform, and that was kind of the platform side. But, of course, that this kind of crossover between real world and platform and vice versa is something that tends to work very well, and certainly something we're interested in doing more of.
Mm-hmm. Dave, yeah. Is Nebula ad-supported, and if so, how are you doing getting sponsors to not only advertise, but maybe even back some of the development of these shows?
Oh, no, we have no advertisers. We want no advertisers. Part of the value proposition to the audience is that they can watch their favorite creators. Some of the content is things that you could find on YouTube. The part of the selling point is you can get those things early on Nebula. You can get those things ad-free on Nebula. You can get those things sponsor-free on Nebula. And more of the money goes to supporting the creators.
If, let's say, an advertiser like Ford or Procter & Gamble or Chipotle wanted to work with a creator on a series, put ads in, but just work with the creator and make something happen. Would you allow that?
Maybe. There's versions of the universe where some kind of product placement might not feel too gross. It would have to be fairly hands-off, or it would have to be dramatically additive to the content. We have talked to carbon offset organizations about getting involved in jet lag in the past. There are certain types of engineering content where a creator might benefit from having access to an aerospace company or something like that. And typically, we just want to avoid the feeling that you're going to have to sit through ads when you come here. When you sign up for Nebula, when you sit down, when you start watching whoever your favorite creator is or whatever the new exciting thing you want to watch is, you should feel safe from any interruption. And the audience, because of the parasocial, the dynamic between the creator and the audience is very invested in these creators, their business story, their trajectory. They are also very smart people, and they are very aware of when they're being advertised to. They understand that sometimes there's economic things that need to happen in order for things to get made, but a big part of why they sign up for Nebula in the first place is to make sure that the creators are getting more of the dollar. To do too much on top of that, you run the risk of feeling greedy, so it would need to be done very carefully.
And just to be very clear, we're not talking about putting commercials in or product placement. It's just to financially fund, let's say, the content, fund a series, or things like that, as opposed to direct commercial involvement. Just make that clear to our listeners.
Yeah, even then, I think we would need to disclose that just in the spirit of transparency. We would never want the audience to find out later and then feel like we had tricked them.
Yep, understand. Jay, what kind of development effort are you going to be putting together to try to encourage programming from African-Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, et cetera, the gay and lesbian community, trans, and so forth. For example, right now we have a New York Latino Film Festival going on Saturday. They're going to be doing here in New York a web showcase of web series, web pilots that may become TV pilots. I know a couple of them are now in talks to maybe become TV series. You have Urban World coming later this fall. You've got TV festivals all over the place like Catalyst in Duluth, Minnesota, Series Fest, which is now making a tour for pitches. What kind of effort are you going to be developing to try to encourage more people of color, women, et cetera, to supply programs?
We've been very lucky, I think, in this regard. From the very beginning, this grew out of a community of creators and sort of our – we're not a political organization, but I think we all share similar philosophies. We believe in facts and science and empathy and human rights. Those things often get translated to being political stances. But because we've kind of built a community with people with shared values, we attracted a number of folks from marginalized groups early on, and because of the way we work with creators, we only bring creators in through referral. So if a creator out in the wild is interested in working with us, typically we would say, like, the best way to get to our door is by making friends with the people who make up the community. And every couple of days or so, I'll get another message from one of our creators saying, hey, I know this creator, we should check them out. And we bring a lot of people in that way. We have certain thresholds for the size of creator that we'll work with. The exceptions can be made in the event that, you know, there's a good social or social justice or whatever reason for taking a closer look. A lot of the times it comes down to what the potential is. And we understand that YouTube is very male-dominated. Education, STEM tends to be fairly male-dominated, so we try to make affordances there. And along the way, we built up a community with – we over-index on some groups, and we try to make sure that people feel welcomed and invited. And as a result, we've brought in a lot of different voices with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, which is great. I think there's always room to do more. One of our creators had pointed out to us recently that a lot of our B-roll when they're promoting Nebula, there wasn't a lot of B-roll that showed off all of the Black creators who had contributed and continue to contribute to Nebula, so they didn't feel like for their audience they had something that would immediately click. And that's more of a, you know, us having B-roll and ad clip assets available to the creators than it is an actual content problem. But it does highlight that there's always going to be blind spots. And so a lot of that is left to, rather than me or Sam or any one individual, it's making sure that our community as a group is constantly thinking about what do we want people to see when they look at us as a collection? What do we want people to see when they think of Nebula? Do we want them to only see one kind of voice, one kind of creator? It is typical within genres. There's a lot of similarity from creator to creator. I think that there's, in some genres, much more room for growth and improvement in diversity than some others. And so it tends to be that if a viewer comes in for one particular genre, I won't name any, I'm not here to pick on anybody, but they might see fewer creators with marginalized voices than in other genres. And so we're constantly thinking about what is the balance and what are the tools that we provide and how do we make sure that in the ways that we are not an open door, anyone can post here platform. I think that doesn't remove our responsibility. I think it just means that we need to be more vigilant about making sure that the door is slightly more open for some folks than for others.
Yeah. Dave, final question to you. How innovative in the years ahead do you want to see Nebula? Throw out some ideas. Hybrid, scripted, unscripted series or specials. Unique made for TV movies. Interactive television, which looks like it's really starting to now take off because smart TV sets and devices have the wherewithal of artificial intelligence to allow you to watch and use the television set with your voice, with your voice remote, with body language. Perhaps tying in computer-generated animation live on the fly or things like live gaming, maybe tying in a game show that involves video game aspects to it. How innovative do you see the programming going?
The programming or the platform?
Both.
The, from a tech perspective, like my background is from equal parts entertainment industry and tech industry. Streaming video, SVOD, we're not really interested in necessarily getting into live stuff anytime soon. Maybe. I don't know. Your job seems hard. I don't know if we want to dive right into that. There's plenty of live streamers out there. It tends to, in video at least, attract a different kind of audience in many cases. There's certainly a place for it, but I don't know if that's where we want to go right away. From a tech perspective, I don't know how much we need to add. A lot of what we're going to be thinking about in terms of innovation is going to come from the content side, much more what we've tapped Sam for. The limit and the direction, I think, will be driven largely more by the ambition and innovation of the creators than of any, like, mandate at a company level. What we want to see is amazing pitches from our creators of wild ideas that we never would have thought of, and then have to try to figure out how to make those things reality. And those will guide us towards making technology decisions. Those ideas will guide us towards making business decisions. And along the way, we're going to, just as we always have, grow and change and develop based on the ideas that the creators have and the relationship that they have with their audience, and to a degree, the way that market forces change. The idea of the creator economy didn't exist 20 years ago. I didn't think it existed 10 years ago. All of this is still new. All of the technology is just now coming to some level of maturity. I think there's a lot of room to grow, and I don't want to try to forecast too far ahead in the way these things are going to change. Not sure anybody predicted TikTok 5 years ago, so I don't want to fall victim to the hubris of the appearance of, I don't know, trying to be clairvoyant here. I think a lot of it's going to be driven by what excites the creators, and a lot of what drives them is what excites their audience.
Well, creators out there, it's in your hands. Nebula, now running on Apple TV, the set-top box, Roku, and other smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. More details about the service and to find out where you can find it online, here's where you go. Nebula, NEBULA.TV. That's Nebula, NEBULA.TV. Dave Witzke, Sam Denby, thank you both very much for coming on this afternoon. All the very best going forward with your service. And I have a hunch that we'll be checking in with you and your creators about the kind of innovative, groundbreaking television that's coming our way in the months and years ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome, Dave and Sam. Take care. All the greatest. Have a super week.
You too.
Dave Witzkus, the chief executive, and Sam Denby, the new chief content officer of Nebula, joining us live from New York and Colorado, respectively. Our Cocktail Trivia answer coming your way, but first, a little message from the fine folks at Cure. You ever wonder what makes you fatigued or tired at times? Well, here's a thought. Try dehydration. It is a leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and muscle weakness. Luckily, there is a way to bounce back, and that way is Cure, C-U-R-E. It's a clean, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate your best. Cure's instant drink packets, which are mixed with water, contain a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives. Cure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go, at work, or where you are at home. Try Cure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISE for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISE. For more details, go to curehydration.com. That's curehydration.com. Now time for the answer to the classic trivia question that we have posed over the last 2 weeks. And sadly, nobody got the answer. The question was, name the 1974 CBS crime drama starring Ken Howard. We gave you two clues. It was a Quinn Martin production, and it takes place in the 1930s. The answer, Manhunter. It was originally a made-for-TV movie, then became a series, got a lot of good acclaim and reviews, and unfortunately only lasted a year. So once again, Manhunter was the 1974 CBS crime drama series starring Ken Howard, who also did, among other things, the TV adaptation of Adam's Rib with Blythe Danner, and a little thing called The White Shadow. He had a pretty good TV career, also in made-for-TV movies as well. We will have a new classic trivia question for you on our episode Thursday. If you're first with the correct answer, we'll have four prizes in play. An Uber card supplied by AMC Networks, two CDs, the Chicago Greatest Hits Collection with songs like Another Rainy Day in New York City, which we are having as we speak, 25 at 6 to 4, feeling stronger every day, Saturday in the Park, and much, much more. And the Lifetime Women in Rock Collection with people like the Bangles, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Cyndi Lauper, The Arrhythmics with Annie Lennox, and much, much more. And the brand-new best-selling book, Running the Show, Television Inside by recent TV guest and Emmy Award-winning writer-producer. Let me just get that correctly. Of course, it is Jeff Melville. So, Jeff Melvoin. Had a little bit frick in the brain there. So we're back on track. Jeff Melvoin. So his book is now a number one bestseller in a genre on Amazon. It's called Running the Show, Television Insights. We'll have all four of those prizes in play. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. So we'll post the question on Thursday. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. We don't get a winner by the end of Thursday. Post the question on Friday on Facebook and X, formerly Twitter. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Coming up in our final half hour, we will have Chris Knight, the President and Chief Executive Officer of the very unique foodie organization known as Gusto TV. They've got some very big things they're doing with Spanish language and even more groundbreaking artificial intelligence. And we'll introduce you to one of the early diversity champions for television and the unique organization that 40 years later is still around in his honor. That's coming your way as we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Key of the Unplugged show, one of Blog Talk Radio's longest running hits. It's on tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, music, entertainment, a whole lot more. The Key of the Unplugged show, that's tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR always at youtube.com, 24/7. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised here from New York. Welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Tom and I'm with you live from New York, 69 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us from wherever you are across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune Radio. We've got TV key executives coming your way. We have one more coming the half hour ahead. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-52-2906. Number good anyway you're catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. If you're shy about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. While the phone is on the air, you connect us using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. 4 years ago, we introduced our listeners at the time to a very unique network all about food called Gusto TV, G-U-S-T-O-TV, out of Ottawa, Canada. It is now running here in the United States on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, and on countries all across El Mundo. Well, we decided to bring the head of the network back for a second go-round. Why? Because this network is doing some very exciting things lately in the field of artificial intelligence and Spanish language television. Joining us live again from Ottawa, Canada, the Chief Executive Officer of Gusto TV, Chris Knight. Chris, great to have you back.
Hi, Simon. Good to be back.
How has Gusto TV evolved since we last talked to you back in 2019?
Well, so much has changed. Now Gusto, or Gusto, depending on where you are in the world, and we actually picked the name because it fits in so many different languages. As you mentioned off the top, is now also available in Spanish all the way through Latin America and launching in the United States and Canada on a variety of platform partners. Overall, we're on almost 50 platforms in 162 countries in English and Spanish, and we're now looking at Portuguese and some other languages. Some of your listeners, if they haven't watched Gusto, why haven't they? But what they might, if they haven't seen the channel, what makes us a bit of a white buffalo is we produce 100% of the content that you see on the channel. So we produce everything ourselves. We're what you call in the food business a tail-to-snout operation.
Instead, I want to let all of you know that this final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised this afternoon is brought to you by Laird Superfoods, the plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. You were here last week at NYC Television Week, Next TV Summit last Tuesday, Hispanic TV Summit last Wednesday. We're going to get to what you're doing with Spanish language television a little bit later on in this conversation. However, on Tuesday, you were on a panel and you raised a lot of eyebrows. I mean, big raising of the eyebrows, because your service is now doing programs, series, that use artificial intelligence-generated animated characters. Tell us about the genesis of that.
You know, we are real strong proponents of all new technologies as they become available. We were early adopters of streaming technology. We have QR codes built into virtually every block of every show, and we push recipes directly to our viewers. When AI, specifically when ChatGPT came around, we pounced on it right away and tried to figure out ways. We realized that AI isn't going anywhere, and how do we use it in a manner that can provide a different look or different entertainment experience for our viewers, and also how do we use it in the back office to streamline processes around production and distribution. So we began very, very early experimenting with a variety of different AI platforms, and I think we were certainly the first food show or the first food channel, maybe the first channel anywhere, when last year we launched a series with three AI-generated characters in the show.
Now, these characters, are they animated? Do they come across as animated characters? They come across as real human beings? When you see it on the screen, what is the show, by the way, and how these AI-generated characters look like?
Sure. So the show is called The Wizard of Sauce, and it stars a really great guy named Kyle Crawford. So the technology right now, the AI technology currently, you know, is not sophisticated enough to really generate, for our purposes anyway, anything other than a fully animated character. Now, I know your listeners in the United States and here in Canada, before anybody starts throwing things at their speaker, I just want to make it clear that when we did this, we put Kyle in the costume, stood him in front of a green screen, and scripted the line. But where AI came in, using a number of different platforms, was we then took the digitized the footage and turned Kyle into three very, very different personalities who look and sound nothing like him. And we inserted them in 30 to 45 second interstitials throughout the show. And the only way you knew it was Kyle was we gave it a prominent play in the credit roll at the end of the show. So if you were just watching the show, you'd see these three different characters, and you'd have no idea that they were Kyle until the very end. We continue to experiment now with all sorts of different AI platforms in developing what we've come to call nonlinear narratives, and also exploring different ways to augment the viewing experience for people who watch Gusto.
I believe we have a call. We are going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta. What's going on, y'all?
What's your name?
Nas.
Nas, great to have you from Atlanta. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so with everything that's going on with the fights with streaming and all this other stuff, when some of these shows get canceled that have kind of a little cult following, how do you guys get involved in, like, if you decided to buy something like that Lakers show Winning Time that just got canceled today? I just happened to see that before you guys were on. I started listening to this show today, but... Yeah, I was just wondering about that. Like, how does that whole process work?
Mm-hmm. Chris, well, I can answer that. Have you had a situation in Gusto where you picked up a show that starred on another network and you've made it your own?
No, but, I mean, you've seen crossovers before, right? And, by the way, I watched the finale last night, and I thought it was fantastic. I'm really surprised that show got canceled. I thought it was really spot on and a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, if there's this groundswell of viewers Some other network likely would pick the show up if they felt that. And it also depends on what sort of contractual back end the producer has done with the originating broadcaster. It boils down really to the sort of the fine print in the contract.
Okay. Well, you know, I was just wondering about that because I was like, man, I wonder if you guys can get stuff like that and then pick it up. But yeah, I would assume that that legalese is probably really a problem for all of that stuff. Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for taking my question, man.
You're very welcome, Naj. Thank you for the call. Naj from Atlanta joining us today on Tomorrow Be Televised. Chris, after your presentation on Tuesday, what kind of feedback did you get about what you said and also about the fact that your network has really stepped far forward in doing artificial intelligence-driven programming, given that it has become one of the hot topics with the writer's strike and the actor's strike?
Listen, we are hypersensitive to the fact that people are worried, you know, people in our industry are worried about their jobs. They're worried about whether or not AI is going to take over the world. We recognize that as a powerful emerging technology, there are many different ways that it could be used that, you know, we would not support. Having said that, we really think it's a powerful tool, and that's the way we look at it. So I've been on a lot of panels, but I've never had as many people come up to me afterwards and be really interested in a further conversation about AI, you know, than I did last week in New York City. The thing about I remember, listen, I've been doing this long enough that I remember going to MIP and having to ship VHS tapes over like weeks in advance. And then I'd sit down with a buyer and we'd actually, watch the show because it would be the first time the buyer had seen the show. Now everything is done. You know, we have an online screen room and multiple languages and everything. Technology advances. It's just the way it is, and we're really excited to embrace the use. Like, we use it for, like, you know, accelerating really mundane accounting processes and cost report processes. We use it a lot in the back end as well to streamline operations. And just, you know, anecdotally now, going around and talking to all the heads of the different departments here, we've probably shaved 20% off of a lot of the back office time doing mundane administrative duties. And that's like an extra day a week that we've liberated people and given the opportunity to do something more creative or more interesting because we've implemented AI there. There are things on screen that we're interested in doing because it allows us to explore, you know, we're an amazing food channel, but we're not Discovery. You know, those guys can outspend us any day of the week. So things like an animated character on a show that is generated through the use of an actor is something that used to be only the domain of large companies with animation departments. We can now do that. We do all of this in-house. We do everything in-house. We've got a great team working in post, and they're all over this stuff. There's right now, for instance, you know, we're playing with the idea of an on-camera conversation between the host, who happens to be cooking something, and the face of Mother Nature as she appears on a giant screen on the set. So let me ask you, Simon, what does Mother Nature look like? You know, is she pan-racial? Where did she come from? She's benevolent, she's kind, she's loving, she's nurturing. What does she look like? And those are the sort of things that we spend countless hours sort of modeling with the help of different AI platforms to help us go through and, you know, prod our imagination and help us go in directions that we otherwise probably never would have thought of. So from that point of view,
the big irony is that many people may remember the chiffon margarine commercials with the actress who played Mother Nature, who became known for that tagline, "It's not nice to fool Mother Nature." Boom, thunder and lightning all over the place.
That's
and the
right.
animals like, what the happened here kind of thing.
Yeah,
another
probably
big irony,
the least. Yeah.
Go
no,
ahead.
Please go ahead. No.
Okay, another
okay.
big irony is that the last couple of years we have had a critical mass form where every television set and every smart TV set, smart TV device, has artificial intelligence software built in, audio and in some cases
right.
video, which allow people to interact with the television set because they can use Google Assistant, they can use Alexa, they can use Siri, other audio features, rather than do it through a smart speaker, do it through the TV set to watch and use television in a greater way.
Yep.
And it seems that that is finally yep. the trigger that is launching this new era of interactive TV, whether it's content, whether it's advertising, commerce, and so on and so forth. And going back to what you said about recipes, can people interact in terms of through the television set to get recipes from your service?
Yeah. So as I said, we started years ago QR code technology evolved. We started using QR in every block of every show. So you're watching a show and, you know, you're going, wow, that looks delicious. And a QR code comes up and you can scan it from 9 feet away with your phone. You don't have to run up and try and get it. So, and we send you the recipe. So guess what we just did? We just began a conversation with you because, you know, last week in New York and every other panel, inevitably there's going to be somebody talking about VX, viewer experience. How do we get people coming back in this fractionalized world? What do we do? You know, and so when we start engaging with people through recipes and then inviting them to send us pictures back and inviting them to join us in our newsletter or send them more recipes, it begins a conversation, a relationship that is more robust than somebody just, you know, skipping through the EPG and landing on us, you know, to watch for half an hour. Our viewing time is extremely high. So, for instance, in the United States right now on Samsung, we're a staggering 195 minutes for viewing time. So people, you know, watch us for a very, very long time. Now, where we have to go for the next step and what excites us is the potential relationship between us, the productions that we make because we do them in-house, the viewer, and sponsors. You know, you were talking earlier on about advertisers and advertising. At the bottom of the recipe that we push you, inevitably, at some point, is going to be another QR code. And if you take that recipe and you go to, I don't know, your local grocery store that's part of the program, you get $5 off of all the food. Or they can have it prepackaged for you if you press the button or if you ask your television. The food can be ready for you when you get there or, you know, sent to you by drone. So there's right now we make these really great food shows. We make people hungry. You know, we reach them at a physiological level. We make your pupils dilate, your mouth water, and your tummy rumble. We make you hungry. And that is a powerful connection. And then when we send you the recipes, that furthers that relationship. And then if you make that recipe and you love that recipe, we've become part of your family's tradition, you know, and that also is powerful. And that's also a really powerful way of introducing legitimate sponsors and advertisers because we're not trying to sell you something you don't need. We're filling a need, right? And that, to me, is the exciting future that we have in terms of changing the relationship between the viewer and the channel and the sponsors. You know, people hate sitting through commercials, so why are we torturing them with them?
Mm-hmm. Chris, you have about a minute left. Talk about the situation with your new Spanish language service. I understand that right now it is you're dubbing the English language programming in Spanish, you're doing subtitles, but at the Hispanic TV Summit last Wednesday you said, guess what, we're going to do original shows in Spanish. When will that happen?
This fall. We're just about to shoot another show with Kyle Crawford called The Wizard of Whatever. As soon as that's finished, we strike that set, and then we're beginning to shoot in English and Spanish. And, you know, Gusto is an extremely multicultural channel. If you look at our lineup, we're gloriously inclusive and multicultural. And from the beginning, it's been that way. So we have hosts who are, you know, Mexican, Spanish, Argentinian, Peruvian, Venezuelan, who can do content both in English and in Spanish as well. And so we're playing around with a number of different concepts. But, yeah, we're going to start producing original content in Spanish and other languages, hopefully to follow in the new year.
Again, the service is called Gusto or Gusto TV, and chances are if you have a smart TV set, a smart TV device, or a multi-channel bundle going through those products, you are getting that service. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, GustoTV.com, GustoTV.com. Chris Knight, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on what you and your groundbreaking crew have been up to, and I have a hunch we're not going to wait 4 years to have you back, because things are really getting superb for your service, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
My great pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome, Chris. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Thank you.
Chris Knight, President and Chief Executive Officer of Gusto TV, joining us live from Ottawa, Canada. In a moment, we'll introduce you to a diversity champion and the ongoing organization that he inspired to happen. But first, some words from the fine people at Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Well, go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use promo code TELEVISE at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Now, if you are working or looking for a better coffee experience, for example, try out Laird Superfood Creamers. They are produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced, and whole food all the way. No artificial flavors, colors, or additives. Ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers, available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. Remember, you save 15% off your purchase when you use promo code TELEVISE at checkout today. In our time remaining, I want to introduce you to someone who was one of the earliest champions of diversity for television. His name is Walter Cates. He was a Russian immigrant who came to this country, and in the 1960s and most of the 1970s, he headed the California Cable Television Association. It was one of the largest cable trade associations in the country. And for many years, it ran the Western Cable Show, the annual year-in-review, year-end, year-ahead show near Disneyland in Anaheim. I went there a lot of times. It stopped after 9/11, and it was always one of my favorite places to go for a cable conference or cable convention. Walter Cates was somebody who believed from the get-go, in public and private, that diversity mattered in television. He didn't use critical race theory. He didn't make people wrong. He didn't go crazy. He said, hey, people of color, women, et cetera, have a place in television. Let's make it happen. He not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. And he did so with his association and for people in the TV and cable industry. He passed away in 1979. And after he did, his son Spencer took over the California Cable TV Association and decided, let's form an organization that will carry on his work and make it an industry-wide affair. So 40 years ago, this year, the Walter Cates Foundation was started. The idea, raise money in a dinner in New York every year that would support fellows, people from different walks of life, different industries that could come into the TV industry through cable operators, cable networks, cable services technology companies. I went to the first event 40 years ago. It was at the Empire Room of the Waldorf Astoria. It was a fantastic affair. Anybody who was anybody big in cable was there. And so was Tom Wheeler, the head of the National Cable TV Association, who was the first honoree. For many, many years, hundreds of fellows got their shot in television and in cable through the efforts and the money raised by those Walter Cates Foundation annual dinners, which always drew a record crowd no matter where it was held. In more recent years, even with the pandemic, the Cates Foundation has shifted from hiring individual fellows to supporting organizations that would make a difference for diversity, whether it was Women in Cable and Telecommunications, NAMIC, the National Association of Minorities in Cable, the Emma Bowen Foundation, which encouraged high school students to intern at various organizations, get a first-hand view of television, and more recently, putting together the Hollywood Creative Forum, a forum which could bring people who want to get into the industry on the creative side in television the opportunity to meet producers, directors, actors of color, programmers who were committed to making a difference with television programming. On Wednesday night, the Walter Cates Foundation will mark its 40th anniversary, and it will have a record crowd at the Marriott Marquis Hotel on Broadway near Times Square. I will be there for that, and I promise you it will be a rip-roaring crowd and a rip-roaring night. And a lot of money, we're talking about anywhere from $1.5 million to $2 million will be raised. And I promise you it will go to a great cause, and it will expand diversity even further at a time when we're seeing more people of color, more organizations of color, start new networks, start new production companies, star in programming all over the place, broadcast, cable, multicast, and services running through smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. By the way, going today to the beginning of Diversity Week 2023 at the Marquee with the Women in Cable Network event, it was wonderful to see so many new people from cable operators, from television networks, and for the first time from technology companies like Google and Cable Labs, the Cable Industries Technology Association, be there to see what was happening. And to also catch Maria Taylor, the host of Football Night in America, one of NBC Sports' rising stars, and the new Big Ten Saturday night pregame show as well, be there to talk about her life in television and how it's impacted her life personally. If you want to make a contribution to the Walter Cates Foundation in honor of their 40th birthday, well, here's where you can go, waltercates.org. And CatesDinner.com. That's waltercates.org and CatesDinner.com. Happy anniversary, big four-decade one, to the Walter Cates Foundation on Wednesday night. And I'm sure that the founder who inspired that organization is up in heaven smiling because he knows that his insistence that TV be open to all comers on all different sides of the industry, well, that's getting done. And with the Walter Cates Foundation sticking around for a whole decades more, it'll get done quicker and quicker and quicker. So happy 40th birthday, Walter Cates Foundation. And wherever you are, Walter Cates, know you're smiling that big, big grin. I want to thank all of our TV executive guests for joining us today and all of you for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday and also on Friday. And joining us on Friday, we'll have the founder and chief executive officer of Caffeine, the unique smart TV distributed service that deals with programming of sports, entertainment, and gaming. Ben Kingren, that's the co-founder and chief executive officer. He will be with us. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? Where do you see TV going in the future, diversity and otherwise? You can email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X, known as Twitter as well. And if I respond to you, if you respond to me, I respond to you back in 24 hours. That is our promise to you because what you say matters now more than ever. You can also catch us on www.blogsofradio.com/televised, our website, smartbytelevised.com, and all of our podcast destinations. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio or the services program. Andy Till is Beat Charles, General Manager, Jay Sonberg, Head of Content. Websites developed by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Smart Be Televised is brought to you by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee, creamers, and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. And by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing now and then, please make it safe and make it great for you and others you love. And keep supporting Diversity Week 2023. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.